You're listening to House That Are in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. In June of 2022, in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, the Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade on the basis that access to abortion is a state issue. Since that decision, some states have passed laws restricting or banning altogether women's access to abortion. But the Food and Drug Administration approved the distribution of mifepristone for medical abortions without an in-person visit as a safe practice. Louisiana filed a lawsuit against the FDA for this action, and last week the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of Louisiana, restricting women's access to the drug in states that have banned abortions. On Monday, the Supreme Court ordered a halt to stopping access to the drug until May 11th so that both sides could respond and the court could consider the issue more fully. Here to talk with us about the case of Louisiana versus the Federal Drug Administration and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling is Anna Bernstein, Principal Federal Policy Advisor for the Guttmacher Institute, a research and policy organization committed to advancing sexual and reproductive health and rights worldwide. Anna, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today. Maybe we can start by you telling us about the Louisiana versus the FDA case that was before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Absolutely. So this case was brought by the state of Louisiana, and it's one of several cases that have been brought in recent years in an attempt to restrict access to mifepristone, which is one of the two medications that's used in the most common regimen for medication abortion care. In this case, seeks to reinstate requirements for in-person dispensing of mifepristone. So mifepristone is regulated by FDA restrictions known as REMS, or Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategy. And this case seeks to reinstate outdated, medically unnecessary restrictions that would block telehealth access and dispensing of the medication in pharmacies. And so this is despite the fact that mifepristone is incredibly safe and effective, including when provided via telehealth, and has been used in the U.S. for over two decades. It's really just part of this broader attempt to restrict access to medication abortion writ large because of its critical role in maintaining access to abortion post-Dobbs.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that piece that there is substantial research on the effectiveness and the safety of mifepristone and the fact that safety is not compromised when it is prescribed after a telehealth visit. And this was something that the FDA looked into, I believe it was under Biden initially, is that right?
Yes, so during the pandemic, the REMS, so the restrictions that had previously prohibited telehealth for mifepristone were temporarily lifted and then permanently lifted in 2023 after evidence showed that, just like you said, prescription via telehealth of mifepristone is just as safe and effective as in-person care.
Now, the FDA has been charged, I believe, by this administration to look at this again. There was some sentiment that was being conveyed that maybe that original analysis during the Biden administration was not up to snuff. It sounded more like a ploy to me to try to find ways to undermine the safety rule. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so the FDA has reviewed the evidence, and in doing so in this past under the Biden administration, they found that these REMS restrictions could actually be lessened. And so, yeah, I think we can see this ploy as politically motivated. We know the science behind mifepristone. We know it's incredibly safe and effective. But we also know there's political pressure from the anti-abortion movement on this administration to take action against medication abortion, because in the post-Dobbs landscape, when access is so fractured, telehealth access has become even more important. We know that the majority of abortions are medication abortion, and over a quarter of all abortions are now being administered via telehealth. And it's because they've become such a crucial access point that the anti-abortion movement is really gunning to restrict access.
So what was the ruling of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals?
Yeah, so the Fifth Circuit lifted a stay that had previously been put in effect. So the federal court in Louisiana, the district court, had paused, had allowed no action to change, had not taken any action while the FDA carries out this review. They just asked for an update on the FDA's review in 6 months. The Fifth Circuit reversed that decision. They sided with the anti-abortion folks and put in place an in-person dispensing requirement nationwide. That was then immediately an administrative stay was filed with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has put that in-person dispensing requirement on pause for a week while they consider the request for a stay.
I was actually quite surprised, although I shouldn't have been because it's his jurisdiction. It was Samuel Alito on the Supreme Court that actually cited, signed the decision to allow women to continue to access it for another week until both sides could make their case, I suppose, you would say, to the Supreme Court. And I guess that would determine, would it, whether the Supreme Court would take on the case to begin with, and if so, eventually rule on it.
So, yeah, the Supreme Court will issue an order likely next Monday on whether the in-person dispensing requirements will be reimposed. But this case is still proceeding at the Fifth Circuit. So this decision that the Supreme Court will make is just on the stay. So whether or not they will reinstate these in-person dispensing requirements while the case continues to be litigated. So the case has not actually been heard yet on its merits.
And I want to talk about, ask a question about the fact that when this ruling came down, across the country, people were saying there would not be access then to mifepristone if this by mail and by telehealth, if this decision stood, and if the Supreme Court has ruled, I want to say, about a year or 2 years ago, it could be longer than that, that a circuit court of appeals ruling will not apply to the whole country. This one was being applied to the whole country. Why?
Yes, so this is actually a different, just a different type of decision that the court issued. And it's related to the REMS, as I said, which are in themselves, and they impact how the drug is regulated by the FDA, so that is inherently a federal regulation of the medication. And because of the type of order that was issued, it actually is not impacted by that Supreme Court decision, which you're referencing.
Hmm. So if the Supreme Court says, we're not going to hear this case, we're going to let the Louisiana decision stand, that would mean in a state like New York, for people in our state, that has already passed laws saying that we're not restricting women's access to abortion. If this law stands, it would apply to, or this decision stands, it would apply then as well to New York?
Yes, so if this in-person dispensing requirement does go into effect, and I do want to note that the case will continue to be litigated, so the Supreme Court will not take it up at this point, and this certainly won't be the end of the road for litigation, mm-hmm. but if it is allowed to go into effect as the case moves through the courts, it will impact access nationwide, so including in states like New York that have passed laws to protect access to abortion. It will reinstate these requirements for mifepristone. It will block access to telehealth and in pharmacy dispensation of the medication. But mifepristone is not the only regimen, not the only medication used in medication abortion. Many providers will pivot to a misoprostol-only regimen. Misoprostol is now used in conjunction with mifepristone in most medication abortions. So there are other options for telehealth access to medication abortion care. And mifepristone can still be dispensed in person by clinicians.
So for the misoprostol, my understanding is that it's not quite as effective as a standalone as mifepristone is, and that the side effects can sometimes be a little worse. In the case of Louisiana, they were arguing that the downstream costs of women taking mifepristone was one of the factors in Louisiana's interest in this case, that it was costing, they cited, I believe, two women who had some complications. I don't know the details of that, though. So to what extent do you think that this, they would then, the interested parties would then take up trying to limit misoprostol?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the end goal of this anti-abortion strategy is to end access to abortion and medication abortion across the board. So I would say that they won't stop with mifepristone. Misoprostol is indicated for other conditions and is less highly restricted than mifepristone, so it would be more difficult. But, you know, I just want to reiterate that, you know, whatever, I think the end goal is clear. And so you're correct that misoprostol often has more side effects. And even if access is still maintained to misoprostol, I think it's really important that we don't lose sight that the courts should not be interfering with safe medications like mifepristone. And people who need access to abortion should have access to the method of care that they want and the most effective and safe medications, including mifepristone.
So there are, from what I understand, implications of this case for beyond access to abortion, that if this decision stands, if indeed there are limits that a state can put on other states in terms of telehealth, and I believe it even goes beyond health, some of the sort of a state rights, state authority, what are your thoughts about the can of worms that a decision that would be supportive of the Fifth Circuit's ruling, and let's say the Supreme Court comes out and says states cannot, you know, distribute mifepristone by mail or without an in-person, or without an, may not prescribe it without an in-person visit, and may not distribute it by mail. To what extent is our other sectors of our communities affected?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate too much, but I do think it sets a dangerous precedent to allow courts to override FDA and scientists' approval for medications based on political motivation. You know, I think we're seeing a really dangerous attempt to, from anti-abortion folks, to override the expertise and decades of science in order to push their agenda.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, if this stands, women still have, don't they, access to this drug abroad?
So there are community networks. There are places that do mail mifepristone to the U.S. Who are will likely continue to operate, but within the formal healthcare network for folks in the U.S., they will no longer be able to prescribe and mail mifepristone if this decision stands.
But women are already using, getting access from out of country?
Yeah, I think there are some networks that mail, that have in the past mailed from abroad.
And anything else from the standpoint of the Guttmacher Institute is very focused on sexual and reproductive health. Any other thoughts that the Institute has in terms of how to respond if indeed the Supreme Court would rule that the Louisiana decision stands?
I think it's just emphasizing what we know to be true, and that is that telehealth provision of medication abortion, including mifepristone, is still safe and effective, even if the Supreme Court allows this really baseless decision to stand and reinstate these outdated and medically unnecessary requirements. And also, to be clear about what access remains for people seeking abortion in the U.S., whether that is misoprostol, in-person dispensation of mifepristone, in-person procedural care. And we know that people have been overcoming barriers to abortion access long before Dobbs, and that has really only increased since the Dobbs decision has fractured care and 13 states have banned abortion outright. So I think it's really maintaining the drumbeat of the science and what access is available regardless of political decision.
So, Anna, can you speak to what you're thinking about what the Supreme Court might do with this in a week? They've given it a stay for a week. When next week hits, when next Wednesday hits, what do you think we're going to hear?
Yes, so we should hear on Monday.
I
can't say exactly what they'll do. I mean, we know that there's only one decision that's backed in science and that makes sense based on the evidence, and that is to allow for telehealth and pharmacy provision to continue as it has safely for several years at this point. But, you know, we just know that the attacks won't end there. There's several other cases that are challenging for mifepristone, and this case, the Louisiana v. FDA case, will continue to be litigated. Either way, when we hear on Monday, we know that won't be the end of the road.
Yeah, and it just seems that, you know, this is the Supreme Court in the Dobbs case ruled that this decision should be left to the states, and they've now created a bit of a mess, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen that these attacks from the anti-abortion movement are not stopping and, quote-unquote, leaving that decision to the states. They are moving to ban abortion nationwide. I think it's the testament to providers and abortion funds and practical support networks that have maintained the level of access that we still do have post-Dobbs, but that doesn't mean that people aren't unable to access the abortion care they need, and a decision like this would completely upend care and create so much more chaos and confusion for patients and providers.
Now, we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to just say a little bit more about the Guttmacher Institute and what it does.
Yeah, so the Guttmacher Institute is a research and policy organization. We do research globally and domestically on sexual and reproductive health. A lot of our work on the domestic side includes comprehensive counts of abortion provision, including the travel in and out of states, which you can find on our website at guttmacher.org, along with policy analyses and updates on cases like this and other policy threats to abortion access.
So if I wanted more information on this specific case and I go to guttmacherinstitute.org, is there a particular place I need to click on or look at?
If you go to guttmacher.org, you can find this likely on our homepage, as well as news releases where we've been updating, including a lot of our relevant data on telehealth and medication abortion provision. And I also want to say for people who may be seeking abortion care, the website abortionfinder.org has up-to-date information on things like state laws and abortion availability, as well as abortion funds and practical support networks.
What was that again?
To provide. That's abortionfinder.org.
Abortionfinder.org.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So for abortion seekers, they are really keeping up to date as things shift, especially during a chaotic week like this one.
And that was Anna Bernstein, Principal Federal Policy Advisor for the Guttmacher Institute. And I want to thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills and talking about this really important issue today, Anna. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. Thank you.